to Psalm 30. Everybody worn out? I'm always excited when, well, at the first of the year when all this, I like it, I guess, but I'm also glad when it's all over. You know. The 30th Psalm. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor, life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness to the end that I may, my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for the Lord Jesus, our salvation. Lord, we ask for the revelation of his person. We ask that he might be preached. We ask that you would open our heart and our understanding, that we might be enabled to worship you. We thank you that you sent him into this earth. And we thank you for what he accomplished, the salvation of all your people and the complete glorification of all your attributes. Lord, we pray for the forgiveness of sins, and we pray for cleansing for Christ's sake. Be with all your people wherever they meet together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I enjoy trying to teach through the shorter Psalms for this reason. You can read them as the words of David and then read the Psalm again as the words of Christ. And you can't really do that with Psalm 119 or some of these longer psalms, but we know that every psalm is the words of David in his own experience and our experience. And every psalm is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to read this psalm twice. First, as the words of David and the words of me and you. And then we'll read this psalm as being the direct word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here is the word of David. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Now, David had a lot of real foes in his life. He had a lot of them. And yet he rejoices, Lord, you've not let my foes to rejoice over me. It's thought that David wrote this psalm at the end of his life, and he's speaking of the great deliverance that he's experienced, looking out over all of his life. The foes, the sins, the people, whatever you want to say. He said, you've not let them rejoice over me. Verse 2, O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Now that could be pretty much the summary of the life of every believer. I cried to thee. There's nowhere else to cry, is there? I mean, nobody else can do anything for you, but he can. I cried, and thou hast healed me. Now, that can take so many directions in our lives, but what I think of more than anything else is, by whose stripes ye were healed. Verse 3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. That's regeneration. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And thou hast kept me alive. Aren't you thankful for keeping grace? Why are you preserved? He keeps you. Kept. I love that word. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Now may the Lord enable us to enter into this. The only way you can give thanks for his holiness is if you're holy. Any way else, you'll be terrified. The only way I can give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness is if I'm holy. Now listen to these scriptures. By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are holy, sanctified. By the which will we are sanctified, made holy, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now think of this. My holiness is what Christ has done for me that makes me holy. Wherefore, holy brethren, the writer to the Hebrews said, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Now, if I'm holy, and I am in Christ Jesus, he is my sanctification. I am holy. I'm not imputed holy. I am holy. That's true of every believer, the new nature. If you're holy, you know what you can do? You can give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And you know, every time we take the Lord's table, isn't that what we're doing? We're doing it in remembrance of him. Everything with regard to the cross is a remembrance of the holiness of God. He says in verse 5, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now, what did David mean when he said his anger endureth but for a moment? What did David mean? I know what the Lord meant by that, but what did David mean? The thing David did displeased the Lord. That's with regard to Bathsheba. The thing that David did displeased the Lord. And if I know the Lord, and he's displeased with me, as far as the way I feel like he's mad at me. And I'm just talking about feelings now. And that's the way a believer feels. You can't sin without thinking of the Lord's displeasure. The Lord is not pleased with sin in any way. But David would say, your anger endures but for a moment. Just a moment. But in your favor, life. My life is his favor. And David understood that. You cannot sin without, if you're a believer and you know the Lord, you know sin displeases the Lord. You know it does. And you feel his anger. You don't really, but that's just the way you feel. You know what I'm saying when I say that. As far as our experience goes, that's the way you feel. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, weeping enduring for the night, that could refer to that time or that all the days walking through the valley of the shadow of this death. Did I say it right? The valley of the shadow of death. I mean, that's life, isn't it? It's going to endure for a night, just temporarily, but joy comes in the morning. That's talking about resurrection morning. That's what we're waiting on when we're raised up in perfect likeness to Christ. And with regard to any trial the Lord's putting us through, doesn't matter what it is, it will pass. It will pass. The Lord's got his purpose in it. It will pass. Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Verse 6, in my prosperity, I said I shall never be moved. Now, I know David didn't mean that I've reached some kind of point in my growth that I know I won't be moved anymore. He wasn't saying that. That's contrary to the gospel. My prosperity is being found in Christ. Is that your prosperity? Complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in my prosperity, and boy, that's prosperous, isn't it? Prosperous in Christ, having all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In my prosperity, I said, I'll never be moved. And what happened? Verse 7, Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Christ is my mountain. And by his favor, I've not been moved. I'm still looking to Christ right now. I've been kept. I've been preserved. He said, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Now, it's interesting. I read several writers who said David should have never said this, and that's why God hid his face. No. This is talking about the Lord's chastening, and this is what chastening is. He hides his face. Somebody says, well, I must be being chastened. I'm sick, or I wrecked my car, or I've lost. To a believer, this is the way the Lord chastens. He hides his face. And that's something that a believer cannot deal with. If I have his face shining toward me, no matter what's happening, I'm okay. You are too. But if he hides his face, no matter how good things are, they're not good. And this is talking about the chastening of the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. If the Lord loves me, he'll chasten me. He doesn't chasten other people's children. He chastens his own. And he says, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. Now that's what happens when the Lord hides his face. You cry to him. That's just as natural as a baby crying. You cry to him. And here's what you say. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth, my spiritual death? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. That's what every believer cries when they feel like the Lord hides his face. Nothing's good if the Lord hides his face as far as the way you feel. And look what happens in him always hearing his people. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. One of the things I love about the Psalms is David goes from the bottom to the top just like that, doesn't he? How often do you see that in the Psalms? That's David. Now I love reading it as David's words, but now let's read this as the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. Now, as we go on reading in this psalm, this is a reference to the resurrection. Thou hast lifted me up and has not made my foes to rejoice over me. No foe will ever be allowed to rejoice over him, because every knee is going to bow to him. Every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He says in verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Now, we'll never plumb the depths of union with the Lord Jesus Christ. But when I was healed by his stripes, Christ said, you've healed me. And that's how close that union is. When I was healed, he was healed. Because he is united to me. And I can show you how that's true from the scripture. What about when the Lord said through Paul, he that loveth his wife loveth himself? Well, when Christ loved his wife, he was loving himself. Now, there's good practical instruction there. You make your wife happy, you're going to end up being happy. I mean, that's true. But that's not the point. When Christ loved the church and loved his bride, he was loving himself. Isn't that glorious? Remember where Paul said, if we deny him, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. For him to deny me would be him denying himself. Now that's how near, so near to God, near I cannot be in the person of his dear son. I'm as near to God as he. And that's what's being relayed there. He says in verse 3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Is that the resurrection or what? O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Literally, David was talking about being brought up from death and sins, but the Lord is talking about his resurrection. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Now, why was Christ raised from the dead? Never forget this. Because he made complete satisfaction. And now God is completely satisfied with everyone that Christ died for. Complete satisfaction. Verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. This is the Lord calling upon all of his saints, sanctified ones, holy ones, to give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And where is his holiness remembered most? The cross. You know, when we're observing the Lord's table, this do in remembrance of me, how his holiness was defined in the broken body and shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every attribute of God, his holiness is the description of every one of his attributes: a holy sovereignty, a holy love, a holy justice, a holy immutability. Whatever attribute you speak of with regard to God, he's holy. He's other. He's altogether none like him. And all that is displayed in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, for his anger endureth but a moment. Now the Lord endured all the completeness of his anger. But you know what? He isn't anymore. It endured just for a moment because he made full satisfaction by what he did. His anger... You know that scripture in Isaiah when it said, in a little wrath, you hid your face? That doesn't mean it was just a little bit of wrath. It means it was wrath that did not continue forever. In a little wrath, that's Christ speaking, in a little wrath, you hid your face. And that's what he's saying here. For his anger His anger against sin endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And I couldn't help but to think of that scripture in Hebrews 12 too. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. He's the author of my faith. He's the completer of my faith. Who for the joy that was set before him, the joy of obeying his Father, he got such joy from that. And the joy of saving his people from their sins. Weeping may endure for a night. And he sure enough did weep. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, but how much it says. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief during his whole earthly time here. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Verse 6, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Now, the Lord could certainly say in his prosperity, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. He never sinned. He never quit believing. By God's favor, his mountain stood strong. And you know what this is referring to when it says, thou didst hide thy face and I was troubled. That's talking about Gethsemane's garden. That's talking about the cross. God hiding his face from his son. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Thou didst hide thy face. I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord. And unto the Lord I made my supplication. You know, Hebrews 2 speaks of, or Hebrews 5, I can't remember which. It speaks of his strong cryings and tears. That's a powerful thing, isn't it? Strong cryings and tears. I cried unto thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Now, what profit, the Lord is saying, would my death be if I'm not raised from the dead? What good would that do anybody? None. There's no benefit in my death if I'm not raised from the dead. And he is calling upon the Lord even at this time as the one who resurrects him from the dead. But what profit there is in his resurrection? The full glorification of all of God's attributes. The complete salvation of all of his people. But if I'm not raised, there's no profit in that. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? How the resurrection declares his truth. Every attribute of God glorified in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear, O Lord, verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Now, once again, union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have mercy on me. Now, you know the Lord didn't have any personal sins that he had to ask mercy for. But he is united to his people. You know, here's a cry for mercy that's better than any cry me or you ever make. His cry for mercy. I can't express enough how in my personal experience always falls short. It's always inadequate. My confession of sin, my cry for mercy, doesn't matter what it is. I'm looking to him crying, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Be thou my helper. And then look what the Lord says. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. I couldn't help but think of David dancing before the Lord when the ark was being returned. And people criticized him for it. Well, Michael criticized him for it. He said, you've made yourself vile. He said, I'll make myself more vile. This was unto the Lord. Well, the Lord, I don't know how to comment upon this the way it ought to be commented upon, but in the resurrection, the Lord was dancing before his Father in absolute joy and exultation. Oh, how happy he is. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth, clothing of sorrow, death, the sin he bore, and girded me with gladness to the end that my glory. Now, what glory he achieved by what he did. He said, I've glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work thou gavest me to do, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee. That's the purpose for my glory, the Lord Jesus Christ says, to sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will ever give thanks unto thee forever. Now, this is a beautiful illustration. Yes, this is David's expressing his heart, making bare his heart. We're so thankful for the Psalms. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and speaking of his resurrection.